God's Wisdom for Women in the Home. We're doing a series on the book of Proverbs, and we're on the family right now. Many women in the home struggle with relationships in their marriage, their family, their extended family, or their in-laws. A recent letter to Dear Annie by Still Waiting reported, "The silence in my marriage feels deafening. When he, my husband, retired, I thought things would feel more balanced, but when I suggested that he take on a few chores, he said, 'When do I get to retire?' I answered, 'When do I?'" Another Dear Annie letter by not reporting to management lamented that her husband retired 8 months ago, and ever since then our home has felt like a company he has decided to manage. "I'm beginning to feel crowded, criticized, and strangely like a junior employee in my own home." A Dear Annie letter by Tired of Carrying It All shared regarding her husband that, "Lately I feel more like his house manager than his wife. I'm exhausted by carrying the invisible load. When I bring it up, he says I'm better at stuff. I do not want another child. I want a partner." Sometimes a woman's tension rises from issues with the in-laws. Bruised by Politeness wrote to Dear Annie to state, "I have been married to a good man whom I love very much, but I dread nearly every holiday, birthday, dinner, and casual Sunday visit with his family due to their cutting remarks aimed at me. How do I get my husband to understand that just ignore it is not an effective strategy?" A wife's tension can involve issues with her families of her childhood. Homesickness and Overwhelmed wrote to the Dear Annie column that when she left home, she swore, "I wouldn't come back. Through therapy, I've learned it was healthier for my sanity to stay away. But my husband wanted me to get to know them. My mother was ill, so he and my family convinced me to come back to take care of her. It has become a huge burden. How do I make a polite exit from this nightmare without hurting my husband?" The problem can be invasive in-laws. Trying to Find Boundaries wrote to Annie that her marriage was happy, but his mother at times asks detailed questions about things that feel pretty personal. Our finances, plans for the weekend, even disagreements we may have. How can I encourage healthier boundaries with my in-laws without making my husband feel like he has to choose between me and his family? So the question we ask is, how may God's wisdom minister to bless a woman in the home? I want to read the passage that we're going to be spending a lot of our time with before we get into this. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. Proverbs 31, verse 10. "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above corals or rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not calamity all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships that brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and gives food to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it, and with the fruit of her hand she plants a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle does not go out by night. She lays her hands to the spindle and her hands to the distaff. She stretched out her hand to the poor, yea, she reached forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and sells it, and delivers girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is in the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that reveres the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." I've talked to a number of women about that passage. It sounds like the Renaissance woman. She does everything. We're going to get into that and how it applies to us. When God created the first woman, Eve, she was to be a helper suitable, literally, for her husband, Adam. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 and 20. However, Eve became a detriment to Adam, eating the forbidden fruit and giving it to him so that he ate it, plunging the entire human race into sin and death. That happens according to Genesis 2:16 and 17 and chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. So God's wisdom, his chokmah in the Hebrew, or his fixed eternal moral order for success and blessing versus sinful failure, applies to women in the home, according to proverbs scattered throughout the book of Proverbs. So we have collected those proverbs and we view them and their applications for our insight as follows. On the negative side, a number of proverbs direct a woman in the home not to practice destructive behavior. A series of related proverbs call a woman in the home to avoid being contentious with her husband. Proverbs 19:13 states that a contentious, the Hebrew word is madon, a contentious wife is as annoying to her husband as a constant drip of water. It's kind of like Chinese water torture. Proverbs 27:15 and 16 adds that a contentious, madon again, wife is even like a constant drip on a rainy day, that restraining her is like confining the wind or grasping oil with the hand as an unruly irritation. Accordingly, Proverbs 21:9 and 25:24 claim that a contentious, madon is the word again, a contentious wife is so uncontrollably annoying to her husband that he's better off living in a corner of the roof than sharing the house with her. In Proverbs 21:19 develops the idea even further, declaring that a husband with a contentious, madon is used again, and an angry wife is better off living in a distant, inhospitable wilderness than living with her. In summary, a wife's being contentious by angrily nagging or arguing or complaining, etc., with her husband is so upsetting to him that a wife must curb such behavior or face growing estrangement from her husband. What happens when a husband runs into a contentious wife? What she's saying fades into the background, and the fact that she's saying it in a contentious manner comes to the fore. And so he does everything he can to get away from the contention. And so what happens, it's non-productive. Proverbs 11:22 claims that a beautiful woman who lacks moral discretion is like a gold ring in the snout of a ceremonially unclean pig, the lack of moral discretion making even a beautiful wife undesirable to her husband. So a wife must not lack moral discretion if she wants to have a successful marriage. We were always taught in seminary, deal with the negative first and then go to the positive. So we've dealt with the negative. The negatives for the ladies is don't be contentious, number one, and two, don't have loose morals. Now on the positive side, many proverbs direct a woman in the home to practice constructive behavior. A wife who is wise establishes her family, Proverbs 14:1. If she is kind, she gains respect, Proverbs 11:16. And if she is noble in character, she is a crown of good influence with other people for her husband, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. Incidentally, there have been a number of first ladies of presidents that we have had who have been a tremendous asset to the president because of the nobility of these women. And it really works. A woman of high character, a woman of kindness, a woman who cares for her family, makes things go very, very well for people around her. Then Proverbs 31:10-31 summarizes and illustrates such qualities, showing her to be the fitting, suitable helper for her husband that is mentioned in Genesis 2:18 and 20, and for everyone else with whom she relates as follows. Now, before I go into this, I want to clarify. The woman in Proverbs 31 has servants who help her. And those servants do the laundry, they do the cooking, they draw the water, they do a lot of the things around the home, which leaves this woman time to plant a vineyard, for example, time to deal with the merchants and whatnot. A woman today, an American woman especially in a household, she has to do housework, which limits her time. She just doesn't have the time to do all these other things that the woman in Proverbs 31 does because she doesn't have servants working for her. So we need to keep it in mind. So The Proverbs 31:10-31 segment of The Wife of Noble Character, or Excellent Wife as the English Standard Version puts it, was authored in a patristic culture where a woman was culturally submissive to her husband. As such, her husband's having full confidence in her and lacking no gain, Proverbs 31:11, as she brings him good and not bad all of the days of her life, Proverbs 31:12, so that her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat with the leaders of the land, Proverbs 31:22. That occurs only if his wife has submitted to his headship and has given him room to develop as a head of household and leader in the community. It's very important for a wife to be helpful to her husband by allowing him the room to take the leadership. The tendency many times to say, I want to help my husband, so what happens is she turns around and helps her husband and just takes over. That actually hurts his leadership. He needs to have the liberty to develop in that area. And that's where a wife can be very, very helpful. So, and accordingly, instead of being contentious toward her husband, her family, her house servants, and her people in the community over the various failings or needs of people, she helps them all. And that's probably the key to the section there that I quoted under section B to C. I believe God has granted women an unusual radar system. That's what I think from my experience as a pastor. Women can pick up signals from a wide swath of things. I can go down a road and I can mention something that I've just noticed from my wife, and she'll say, honey, that's been there for 20 years. I didn't see it. She did. But they didn't have this capacity to take in all this information that is out there. And as a result of that, a woman can be very aware of failings. Failings in her husband, failings in her children, failings in people in the community around her. She can react one of two ways. She can complain about it, which isn't going to do any good. The other thing she can do is help. How can I make a difference? That's what she should be asking. And if she does, she becomes an enormous blessing to everybody around her. As a result of reacting to the failings or needs of people around her, she helps them all. Her husband praises her above all the other women as she enables him to succeed as her head. Proverbs 31:28-29 and 22. Her children arise and call her blessed, Proverbs 31:28, as she produces clothes, verses 13:19, 21, and 22, and feeds them, verses 15a and 27. Her household servants are well endowed, they're well clothed, verse 15, verse 27. The poor in her community are helped by her gifts, verse 20. All due to her diligent industry, verses 16-18, 24 and 25, and 27. And she speaks with wisdom and loyal love to all the people around her, verse 26. That's what she does. She makes it her point to say, what can I do to make a difference? There are some needs here. There are some problems here. What can I do to be a solution? And boy, she becomes a blessing. And that's, I added the note, with household servants to do household chores, this woman had the time to achieve all she did. So today's housewives are left doing the household chores, and what limits their time for such other ventures. So please, ladies, we're not expecting you to buy a field and plant a vineyard, you know, and deal with all the merchants and so forth. If you've got the time, God bless you. But your time many times is taken up with what is going on in the home. And then the contacts you have with people outside of the home, whether it's a PTO meeting, whether it's community gatherings, church, whatever, that's where the Lord can use you and bless you. Now we know from Proverbs 31:30 and other scripture passages that a wife needs to have a proper relationship with the Lord for the motivation and power to function as Proverbs 31:10-31 noble wife. Proverbs 31:30 reveals that the noble woman in the passage reveres the Lord, that she understands that she is accountable to him so that she functions in her relationships like God wants her to function. So in the current church era, Scripture reveals that this reverence begins with a wife's believing in Christ as her Savior from sin, that she might spiritually be born into the family of God, John 3:16 and 1 Corinthians 15:1-11. Then she needs to rely on the indwelling Holy Spirit for the power and the motivation to function as a suitable helper not only for her husband, but for her family, her extended family, her friends, and her neighbors, Galatians 5:16-23. Now we're going to see how this fits and how this applies to the issues that we covered in our introduction, because there is a wide variety of applications here. The lesson is, as a wife, by the power of the Holy Spirit, avoids being contentious and lacking moral discretion, while being a true suitable helper to her husband and then others, she aligns with God's wisdom for true lifelong blessing. And she becomes a blessing, and because she becomes a blessing, then she's blessed as a result of the feedback that she gets from other people around her. So the application is, may we trust in Christ who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. That application is not only for ladies in the church, it's also for men and boys and girls. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. What we need to do is to believe that Christ died on the cross for our sins in our place. He bore the penalty and the punishment of the penalty of our sins on himself on the cross. When we believe in Christ as our Savior, God the Father applies the account of Jesus to us. And we are forgiven. We are born into the family of God. And we become children of God. And we escape hellfire, and we become recipients of the loving kindness of God in our lives. If you haven't made that decision, I'd encourage you to do it immediately. None of us knows how much time we have to live. And of course, when we get into eternity, it's just the judgment. The only opportunity that we have to make a decision for Christ is in this life. So I would encourage you, if you haven't done that yet, to believe in Christ immediately. And then may Christian women rely on the Holy Spirit to avoid being contentious and lacking in moral discretion, but to be truly helpful, fitting the role that God designed for them. Now, each Dear Annie writer noted in her introduction can be helped by heeding the scriptures in this sermon, and I want to show how. Each wife in her introduction faces wrongs from some party or parties. It could be her husband, could be her family, could be her in-laws, and or her childhood family. And each wife is exposed to harm by the combination of her spiritual weakness in mishandling mistreatment, as well as her being vulnerable to what ungodly people around her do or say. I noticed in each one of these cases that the woman involved was not relying on the Spirit of God. She probably didn't know Scripture that well, or if any. And this is the core of her problem, of her response. Now, I'm not saying that the people around her were righteous. They weren't. But her response is very telling as well. So each wife in her introduction needs to get into a right relationship with the Lord by accepting Christ as Savior and relying on the Holy Spirit, and function by the power of God, the indwelling Spirit, that occurs as you rely on the Holy Spirit by faith, to have the ability and the motivation to initiate good toward the problem party or parties in her life, without having to descend into a contentious spirit by her reacting out of hurt or frustration to the wrongs that she faces. The Proverbs 31:10-30 woman functions this way towards all who are with whom she relates. In other words, as a woman, you're filled up with the power of the Lord, with the enabling of the Lord, so you can afford to be in a giving mode of yourself to other people around you, and you're not left vulnerable to their reactions. And that's because you're under the protection of the Lord. You need that. Otherwise, if you're vulnerable to what people are saying and doing, you can end up really crushed. And God doesn't want that at all. On the other hand, and this is something we have to keep in mind, since Proverbs 31:30, the noble woman reveres the Lord, she does not have spiritual fellowship with evil people. So she does not have fellowship with anyone who is ungodly due to the contrast that exists between the righteousness and sin. Paul the Apostle wrote about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and through 18. What fellowship has Christ with Belial? There is none. So if a woman is in right relationship with the Lord, she's not going to be in fellowship with people around her who are not. Now, that doesn't mean that she should ever treat them unkindly. No, we're not saying that at all. But there's no fellowship. There's no connection. For this reason, a godly wife will be kind and decent towards other troublesome folk, but live immune to the negative attitudes and the actions of those people. For there cannot be spiritual fellowship between a godly woman and an ungodly people around her. So if a woman is faced with ungodly people, you know, in the home or extensive family and so forth, she shouldn't try to beat herself over the head with them. She's not guilty of that. That's because there's a break between the righteousness that she's involved with and the unrighteousness of the people who are around her. So she shouldn't kick herself over that at all. That's just something that is natural. Proverbs 18:24 in the New International Version claims, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." So a godly wife, for her own welfare, will necessarily be selective as with whom she opens up in full spiritual fellowship. This is where getting together with other godly Christian women is so good for a woman, or other godly Christian people. It can be men as well as women in a church situation. Because that fellowship is something that you need if you're facing it. Years ago, we had a lady, she's now with the Lord, but she used to come to church. And she was persecuted by everyone in her extended family every Sunday because she came to Nepog Church because of what we believe. She faced it every time. And she would come in, or she had just gotten an earful. And so she would be here for a Sunday school class and the worship service, and then she would go home. And she said it was such a joyful thing to come to the church because this is where she could relax, she could fellowship because she had nothing but support. And that's what she needed. And I never forgot that. A dear, dear woman. She's with the Lord now. She's buried in a graveyard not too far from here. But she suffered every Sunday. But she was blessed every Sunday when she came to Nepog. So that's what I would encourage. So may we trust in Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. And then make Christian women especially rely on the Holy Spirit to fulfill the role God designed for them in blessing. We dealt with men last week. This Sunday we're dealing with Christian women, and of course the next Sunday we'll be dealing with child rearing from the book of Proverbs. But it's our hope that this message will be of help and encouragement for women. I know a lot of women face a lot of things in life, and it's not easy. And the life which they're called upon to live, especially in the culture in which we live and the times in which we live, it's not easy. But God can give us the power and to live effectively. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for this book of Proverbs that lays out reality, the reality that we face in life. And are there problems? Yes. Are there challenges that we face, even in relationships in the home or marriage or extended family, community? Yes. We face some as men. We face some of them as women. But we can have the victory over that and over the challenges that we face as a result of those problems if we're in right relationship with you. And we operate from a vantage point of strength. And we can turn around and focus on the failings of other people around us and do what we can to help and to nurture and to build up and to strengthen so that we become a blessing. And in the process, we are also blessed by your grace. We ask, Father, that if there's anyone in our congregation this morning who may be listening even on the MP3 recording who as yet does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, that before the day's out, they would make that commitment to trust in him, that they might have eternal life and fellowship with you and have the strength to function in a way that causes them to be a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.